reading now and then introduce ourselves after that. Taken from Philippians chapter 4, verses 1 to 13.
Some big words in here, so I'm going to struggle. Right. Therefore, my brothers, whom I love and long for, my joy and crown, stand firm thus in the Lord, my beloved. I entreat Euodia and Syntyche to agree in the Lord. Yes, I ask you also, true companion, to help these women who have labored side by side with me in the gospel together with Clement and the rest of my fellow workers whose names are in the book of life. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and see in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at length you have revived your concern for me. You were indeed concerned for me, but you had no opportunity. No, not that I am speaking of being in need, for I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In every and any circumstances, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me.
Thank you. Indeed, as Christians, we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. I'll just take this moment and introduce us. In the far left is Patrick, married to Dorothy back in Uganda, and they have four lovely children. And he's into IT and also works with our government in the Ministry of Education. Then that is Peter, married to Anne, with three children, into fine art and illustration. And that is Andrew. Andrew is a human resource consultant with how many children, Andrew? Very many.
He also called the number.
Yes, he embraces. I really marvel because he embraces so many other children. But they have three biological children and very many children that the Lord has blessed in their care. Yes, Andrew?
Three biological and five non-biological.
And five non-biological. Hallelujah. And this is Martha. Martha is a teacher of German and teaches in a secondary school. She's yet to add to the population of Uganda. I don't know whether it will be in Germany or in England or in Uganda. I am Becky. Sorry, this is my husband, Zephyr. Yes, we are married. The Lord has blessed us with three children. He's an agriculturalist by training and into administrative work in the company that he heads. And I am a retired teacher, but also doing business work. And we love the Lord. And we came all the way, very many miles away from you, into this beautiful cold weather. Am I being sarcastic?
No, it is.
Okay, yeah. But simply to say that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us, to strengthen the believers here, and to challenge those who may not have accepted the Lord Jesus in their lives, that he's coming back. Every knee shall bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. I was just thinking of those words, and as I realized that it has nothing to do with my feelings or emotions or my logic. Every knee shall bow and every tongue confess that he is Lord. I think I had better be on the right side when the Lord Jesus Christ comes back. However hard it sounds, that's what the Bible says. So I pray that the Holy Spirit will continue helping us to understand those words. None of us is there yet, because we are all a work in progress. Like Paul has been saying, he is the one, it is the Lord that enables us to do all things. Enjoy the rest of the evening.
We sing, Imbeni is a Swahili word for sing. And we are saying, sing for the light of the Lord has come. And the glory of the Lord is risen. So you sing, you celebrate. Amen.
Amen.
Whatever is good, whatever is pure, whatever is excellent, whatever is praiseworthy, think of these things Paul advises us to do. And it's one of the biggest clues that takes us through some of the hard times. I got to discover this life is full of choices. Every moment you walk, there is a choice to make. Will I get up this morning, won't I? And when morning comes in this country and the sun is sensible enough not to come out in the morning either, and you've got to do it. So you make the choice and get out of bed because there are things to be done. The Bible talks of it as maturity. Jesus told Simon Peter, "Surely I tell you, when you were young, you guarded yourself and walked only where you would. But when you're old, someone else will hold your hand and lead you to where you don't wish to go." Maturity is full of self-denials and self-instructions and an analysis of choices and decisions. You sort of, you take the reality of very many situations and decide on them at a go, not the pleasure you want here and now. And that's one of the beauties of what God decided. He decided the things we've done today and yesterday and the other year will not count when he's deciding our value. He wants us to make the statement now. And he'll take us the way we are. I was explaining one time I was washing my car after driving through a very, very muddy area. You don't know mud until you come to Uganda and you get hit by a tropical rain. Then you drive through mud and the car digs in and then you spin the wheels and it splashes mud across the car until nobody can tell what its color is. Then you get a bunch of people who put dirty handprints on it but finally get you out. Then you drive home and you get buckets of water to wash that off. And I was in the process of washing this off and my 2-year-old daughter came to help me. I had a big bucket of water. It was full of half mud, half soap, and half water. And as I was there scrubbing, I turned around and look, and there she is right in the bucket. She's in the bucket. And you know, I look at her, and yes, she's filthy as anything, but she's my little girl, my sweet little girl, who I love very dearly. The best thing next to marriage that had ever happened to me, you know? When I was marrying my wife, I thought I was having the best on earth. Now there was this little girl, and what a bonus. Now she has made herself very dirty. And I was so amused at her. I picked her up in my arms, suspended everything I was doing, went and filled another bucket with good, clean, warm water, put her in it and scrubbed her down and forgot the car. It's not as important as my beloved little girl. And you know, that's the beauty of forgiveness, the forgiveness that God gives us. He comes to us, looks at what we are doing, and he loves us. And he knows we are better off outside that which we are doing. He picks us out. If we'll cooperate with him, he goes and scrubs us down. And then we continue the sweet fellowship. Because the fellowship is disturbed by the dirt, you know. Have to hold her a bit more carefully. In the same way, it's very hard for us to do any good things to God when we are dabbling in the things that the flesh desires. You know, in this group, Patia and I find ourselves many times with very many pretty girls apart from our wives. And the flesh comes and whispers in the ear. And you don't take it because you know, I have a wife at home. I have a daughter. I have a son this tall who just turned 16 today. He's looking up to daddy for his sake. If God would use me better, it would be without a scandal of that sort. If the whole school, all the schools we are visiting and the churches we are visiting back home would still feed from this vessel, it's better that such a meal had not been served in it. You know what I'm saying? So it's, He leads us in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And sometimes we forget that it's for our sake too. Because when we pass the opportunities, we forego a lot of trouble. A lot of trouble. Thy word is a lamp unto my path and a light unto my feet. There are people who sit, instead of Bible studying, they sit questioning the authority of God's word. They can't get instruction out of it. So everything becomes liberal and easy and allowed. And the burdens we carry on this earth are necessary, my brothers and sisters. In obedience, in gentleness, in softness, and in humility, we'll see the light, we'll hear the voice, and he'll set us free. We'll know the truth, and he'll set us free indeed. And when I go back to my wife, I can look her in her eyes. I know I owe her nothing apart from love. I haven't been doubling in anything. It's very beautiful to have that feeling. Not that the opportunities are not there, but it's the fact that by God's grace and the help of all these people, I get to pass by them as many times as they come. And I want to encourage you people in this church. These things are there. They'll be with you. In these cold nights here, I mean, your best friend, your beloved, your darling becomes like one of your enemies. It feels like that. That's until you put yourself on the wrong side, then you wish you had stayed where God wanted you to be. Because he knows. First of all, he's putting up with a lot of trash in our lives. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. That's the way it comes together. When we forgive, we realize we are also being forgiven amazing amounts. 70 times 7, you've forgiven me all of my life. Every time I've fallen, Lord, you're there.
What a privilege to know that we can be forgiven. Having grown up in a preacher's home, my dad was a priest. And looking back, I'm trying to see how to say this very quickly, very briefly, and yet give the message that I feel would be of encouragement to all of us here. I think of my childhood as some of the little children there. You have a lot of dreams. But for me, I was asthmatic in a family of 7 boys. And they used to handle me very gently. But as I grew up, I loved sports. So being here and I look at the plaques, and the pictures on the walls, I'm reminded how God healed me of asthma at the age of 17. And I was able to play in the cricket team for my school as wicketkeeper. God can heal your diseases. He heals our diseases. And what a privilege. I don't even feel right to be saying some of these things to some of us here because you're senior. You are more experienced in life than I am. And you have seen God do great things in your lives and through your lives. But just encouragement for us. The body may become weaker. I may not be able to bat and run as fast as I used to. But in the course of time, God has taken me through tough things. Preacher's kid goes through a divorce. He took me through that. And you may have gone through a divorce. So you're having a difficult marriage. God can restore that marriage. But if he chooses not to, and you have to go through a divorce like I did, still he remains God, and we need his guidance. And he's blessed me with a wonderful wife. And as a man, I knew what it means not to be able to father children, medically proven not to be a father. And God blesses us with a beautiful daughter and then a set of twins without medical intervention. God does wonders. May God guide us. May we know that he is the guide and is the guard of our lives. Even as we grow weak in the flesh, We've gone through tough things in life, but we've seen God hold us together, and through those storms, He has shaped us to love Him more, to love each other more. May God guide us through it all. He remains Lord. And if you've never given your life to Jesus as your Lord and Savior, it's not about us being in ministry and serving in church and being involved in church things. It is a personal thing. And it is not something to be ashamed of. Your children, your grandchildren will see what God is doing in and through your lives as you surrender and you let Him guide you.
You know, one of the things, one of the experiences you have in life that you don't expect, you didn't see it coming, was about a month ago when we were taking my mother to lay her to rest. I stuck very close to my father because somehow the Holy Spirit had alerted me that I didn't have much time with my parents and I needed to give them more time. And we live in Kampala and our village is about 8 hours, 7 to 8 hours drive away. And I know that that's where they were born and grew up, and they know every landmark, every big tree, every old building, and they long for those places. So I started offering as many trips to the village as possible. You know, if you got to take away 7 hours to drive to a place and take 2 days there and take another 7 hours to drive back, that's a lot of time. And when you're giving it to someone, you're not thinking twice about it. You think you're losing time. But now in retrospect, I realize that was very good wisdom from God, because when we're traveling, I listen to some deep wisdoms, things that I hadn't had before. My parents are 81 years old, but they hadn't told me very many things. They told stories. They pointed at a tree. They said they rested under that tree when they were walking the 50 miles from home to school. You know, that sort of thing that I hadn't had before. They pointed at a big rock. Dad says he repaired his bicycle around that place. You know, that sort of thing. And we did all those journeys, and we did for about 3 years. Then suddenly my mom gets this stroke, and after 3 months she doesn't recover, and she goes to be with the Lord. And we stuck with my dad because he was devastated. And they were left with only about 2 months to do their 60th anniversary. And he hasn't known any other person in all his life. You know, they started going to school the days when the missionaries were there, and so were the lions and leopards around their houses, and everybody dropped out until they were the only two at school from their area. Eventually, they became husband and wife. And so, basically, he has known her from about the time they were 11 years old, and now she's departed. And so we are taking this drive home, and he's in next to me in the co-driver's seat, and my brothers are on the back seat. And the funeral van had taken off earlier, and I think they stopped somewhere for a break. About 3 hours into the drive, we're about to turn to where we take a break. And we were talking about every other thing, and then the funeral van glided by. Can you imagine that situation? Suddenly the memory of what has happened is here. You know, there are things that we don't have any idea about. And God has them in control. But in a way that we don't understand, because He throws you into it and then leads you through it. And for a moment we had to keep quiet. And then after a while I told Dad, Mom, he's going to be laid to rest. It's all right, let's. We carry on and we'll drive slowly and we'll get there. And gradually the topic changed. We got to the place where we took a break normally with Mom. And there was, in the last days, she wasn't able to walk much. So we would arrive at that place and she stays at the car. Now there's a security guard who is a lady who one day came to her in tears. We had gone into the service place and the lady came to her and says, I think you can pray for me. And she said, what for? Says, I can't have a child. And Mom laid hands on her and prayed for her. And the next time we came by, she was carrying a baby. And it was amazing. And this time round, she came to say, where's Mommy? And we say, sorry, you saw that black van going? That is her. She's gone to her own Father in heaven. And you know, it was sad. and happy at the same time, but very deeply painful. It's a thing, you know, that is going one way, it's not coming back with her on board. But the other amazing thing is, you know, she lived her life for the Lord, and we don't have any fears or regrets. We only miss her very deeply. And this world here, look at it, look at all the glamour here. You come to Uganda and see a big national stadium. It doesn't have a tenth of the equipment you have here. But the day they call you, you won't go with your trucks here, you won't go with your plaques on the wall. You don't even go with the golden teeth that the dentists put in there. You leave them all behind. They all belong to this earth. But the spirit belongs to the Lord. And he'll call that spirit back. He won't ask us for permission. He won't discuss it with us. And we have things we do on earth that matter. But we have things we do on earth which actually have eternal value. And those, if we could do them. Love is at the top of it most. Love. It sounds like, you know, people have called it anything and that, misused that word love. But it comes from heaven. God is love and he requires us to love. But he requires us to believe. To believe and then to take a step. And then to act on that. To offer our lives, ourselves as a living sacrifice. And you know, to give your life to the Lord is an amazing thing. It's not a thing I do today, then I go and I've finished it. But just like I said at the beginning, it's actually now beginning to actively hear that instruction voice when you reach the junctions. What do I do at this place? And you remember what the Lord says. Sometimes he clearly tells you, and you make that decision, and you walk day by day. And I see it as life goes by. I mean, when I first got attracted to my wife, she was perfect in looks. Yes, the waistline was sort of that nice. And after our two lovely babies, the waistline has been challenged a bit. But the person has become more valuable than gold. If you know how to recognize what beauty is, that waistline has got nothing to do with the golden eternal beauty that God has been building in that lady, you know? And now I keep wondering what life would be like without her, because she's such a complimenting part of me, you know? And when we begin to value things the way God values them, the surface becomes nothing. The rest just grows and grows. I can talk forever. And I look at the clock. They say in Africa, here you have time, but here you have the clock. In Africa, we have the time.
What a wonderful evening. Let's give the Lord a very big hand clap. Let's clap into the Lord for his goodness. And what a wonderful photography of the choir. Good illustration. I think Peter is the tallest. His guitar is taller than his head. Shall we pray? Lord, our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks, for we come to rejoice and be glad because this is the day you have made. We thank you that in the midst of the joy, in the midst of the song, we hear your voice. Thank you, Lord, that your word is sharper than any two-edged sword. That, Lord, you are able to speak life, to speak good health, to speak breakthroughs into our lives and our situations. Lord, even as we meet and depart this evening from this place, you know each one of us. I'm reminded that you've inscribed each one of us on the palms of your hands. And that, Lord, you know even the hair on our head. So I want to commit everyone amongst us, Lord, into your hands and say, Lord, grant us the desires of our hearts according to your riches and glory. Lord, if in our midst there is someone who is hurting, if there is someone who is aching, if there is someone who is disappointed, I pray that you who is instructing us according to your word to rejoice always, that there will be rejoicing in their hearts. Lord, I pray for peace amongst us, Lord. I pray for our children. I pray for our spouses. I pray for our work, different works that we are involved in. But above all, Lord, I pray for ourselves, that we shall be complete and complete in you. Lord, may your healing move through each one of us. There are people who we know were very, very ill, and those who are not very ill, but we know that, Lord, with your stripes we are healed. So I pray for your healing upon each one of us and as a family of Christ. And we want to pray for a blessing on all of us, Lord, that even as we start this new week, that we shall move and walk with you, knowing that you are a loving God, you're a forgiving God. And Lord, if any among us is feeling condemned, Lord, I'm reminded that there is no condemnation if we're in Christ Jesus. That you died on the cross to take away our guilt, our shame, and our agony and everything. We return all the thanks and glory to you. In Jesus' name, I have prayed. Amen.